I would like to talk to you about a relatively new movement, a growing movement, with perhaps 250,000 members in the U.S. and 10% that number in Israel. They proclaim that the path to Christian spirituality is through embracing the Jewishness of the early church, and in particular the Torah, that is the law of Moses. The Messianic Jews, as they're called, aim to keep the Sabbath, observe the festivals, use Hebrew and Aramaic words. They call their leader Rabbi, and many other interesting things. They lament that so few believers have studied the Old Testament, even though Christians claim that both Testaments are the Word of God. I have to applaud the Messianics for their emphasis on the Old Testament, the first three quarters of the Bible. They're right. We do need to study the Torah if we're going to grasp the message of the whole Bible in both covenants and see how they're connected. We do need the Torah if we're going to view the world through Jesus' eyes and appreciate prophecy and fulfillment and so much more. The Messianics rightly reject common Protestant claims that the Old Testament law was the root of legalism or is somehow opposed to grace or that it only superficially reflects God's character, for that's false. This movement seemed to regard themselves as a bridge between evangelical Christianity and the Jews, an enlightened bridge. They see something that the Jews don't understand, which of course is that Christ is the Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah, and they see something that the other Bible-believing Christians don't see, which is the Old Testament. They expect the Jews to come to Christ in large numbers at the end of the age. The Messianic Jews claim to be 100% Christian and 100% Jewish. That would actually describe the apostles and many people in the first generation of Christianity. But I don't know about today. Few Christians and virtually no Jews accept the Messianics as representing their historic faiths. Why is that? There's a reason. Messianic Judaism tends towards, I think, two things, elitism and legalism. They alone, among all churches, correctly read the Old Testament. They pride themselves. They can look down very easily on those who teach that the law came to an end with the finished work of Christ. Legalism, why do I say that? Because law is combined with the gospel, and particularly the regulations of Torah are bound on others, things that are not part of the new covenant. There's no gospel plus. And that's precisely why Paul so vigorously rejects gospel plus in his letter to the Galatians. And I've noticed in the last, especially the last 10 or 20 years, many efforts to win over Christians to Messianic Judaism. And I've seen that in Europe, in Latin America, in North America, and I'm sure it's happening in other places. Many people have given up on their regular church, their non-Messianic church, and have joined the Messianic movement. Many people from my own congregation have done that. And others will unless we're better prepared. Messianic Judaism entails a thick cluster of issues, and I don't think I can do it justice in a single talk or a single paper. But with each talk in this series, I'll try to sort and clarify. Now, of course, the New Testament itself deals with this very issue, that is the relationship of Torah to gospel, because that was the hot issue in the first century. So we have Galatians and Romans and Hebrews and parts of at least four or five other New Testament documents that speak directly to these concerns. The Judaizers, as they're called, were strongly opposed by the early church in the first century. And I believe we should adopt a similar stance today because we're saved by the gospel, not the gospel plus the Torah. Paul, the apostle, actually goes further than we may realize, because he didn't just oppose the program of the Judaizers, or sometimes he calls them the circumcision party, those who said that men needed to get circumcised, Acts 15, Philippians 3. But he also opposed those who attempted to use the Torah as a means to help Christians to be spiritual, to mature. And that's why Galatians is such an important document. Well, to fortify disciples of Christ against these teachings, I've already recorded different podcasts and written articles. By the way, you can get to those if you want. They're at the webpage at the very bottom. At my website, they are spread over 10,000 pages. So I put them all together. But for something that'll flow better and I think easier to understand, I wanted to create this podcast series. Let me tell you some things we'll be looking at. We'll be looking at the roots of Messianic Judaism, which is a modern movement, really, and it comes out of religious and non-religious movements of the 19th century. But it's not really been here very long. We'll look at key terms. And why do they call Jesus Yeshua? Why are church leaders called rabbi? Is the law of Moses really valid today? Is that what Matthew 5:17 is saying? What about the Ten Commandments? Well, really, what parts of the Old Testament do not carry over into Christianity? Oh, what about Israel? Are they still in a covenant relationship with God? How did the early church look at them? Do we have any examples of their opinions outside the Bible? Is there going to be a mass conversion of Israel in the end times? We'll be looking at the Sabbath. We'll look at whether the New Testament was written in Hebrew originally. Should there be a third temple? Will God not be finished with salvation history until the temple's rebuilt on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? We'll look at Galatians, a single letter refuting the entire Messianic movement. And we'll certainly look at the Jew-Gentile controversy, that hot issue in the first century. I want to finish this introductory invitation with some thoughts about why Messianic Judaism proves attractive to many people. First, it is a system of doctrine, as opposed to just scattered beliefs. It's always easier to commit to a system, if it makes sense or makes some sense, than to organize a heap of unclear thoughts. And many of us are attracted to discipline and order. We're looking for explanations. Could it be psychological compensation for the Holocaust? Messianic Judaism really took off once Israel became a strong nation, particularly after the Six-Day War in 1967. Another thought is that by attaching itself to modern Israel, Messianic Judaism tries to take on a mantle of relevance. But perhaps the biggest reason why it's attractive to Christians, and I know many people who've left, and I've heard of hundreds of people who've left the church to go after the synagogues of the Messianics, is ignorance of the Bible, the Old Testament in particular. If modern Christians were more familiar with God's Word, they wouldn't be so easily influenced by this movement. Ah, the movement's not all bad. As I've said, there's some things on which I applaud them. There's some things they point out that are very good points. They raise many good questions. But as we'll see as we go throughout the course of these short talks, this is not going to match up with the teaching of the apostles and Jesus. Stay with me. Thank you for listening. God bless.